always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer tonight that you will honor the reading and preaching of your word in the hearts and lives of those who have come here by faith, Lord, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind and leave more in the image of you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to start with a definition out of Webster's Dictionary. It's a word that a lot of money has been spent on, a lot's been said about. It's confidence. Confidence. And the Webster's Dictionary defines confidence as this: a feeling or consciousness of one's powers or of reliance on one's circumstances, the quality or state of being certain. So confidence, a feeling or consciousness of one's powers or of reliance on one's circumstances, the quality or state of being certain. Confidence, it's a thing that's important to us. A confidence gives us assurance and security. We were talking before it started, when we're trying to sing along with the worship songs, if we've never heard it before, we're not sure of the melody, we lack confidence. And when we lack confidence, we can't sing out. But when we have confidence, because we've heard it before, we have that assurance and that security. We know where the song's going, and we can sing out. As humans, we have a limited amount of knowledge and a limited amount of ability. So being that we're unable to predict or control the future, we try to amass things that give us this confidence. It's kind of how we get through situations. So we'll muster up some facts or emotions or circumstances, and then we'll use those things to make us certain about the outcome or certain about our safety in a certain situation. And so we hear the term confidence linked with a lot of things. We hear it linked with consumer confidence, right? Self-confidence. And it just says that we know enough about this circumstance that we can have confidence in predicting the outcome, or we have some sort of belief or assurance in ourselves that we can project that into confidence. So confidence is something that we live with. But the problem is it's often based on changing things, emotions or knowledge or circumstances. So at times we'll have lower confidence or higher confidence in something. If you run a quick search on Google, it comes up with these titles, something like, why confidence is so important. Or this is a good one that I thought was interesting just in the title: how to fake it when you don't have confidence, which doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, just to say, confidence is something that is we live with. We want to have confidence. We muster up confidence in things to get by. We want to be certain of our standing, but the truth about much of our confidence is that it's based on our own selective gathering of facts, emotions, and circumstances. And therefore, it's fickle. It's finite. It could change. We have confidence in a new outfit today, and then tomorrow it's an old outfit, and it doesn't project confidence anymore. I get my hair cut, and I have confidence. My hair grows out, or my hair falls out. I don't have confidence anymore. So confidence comes and goes. Tonight, we're going to look at something Paul says in the text that we absolutely can have confidence in, and we must have confidence in it. And that's going to be our salvation. And the main point of the message tonight is we can have confidence in our salvation. And looking at our text, we're going to get a running start. We're just going to look at verses 1 and 2, Paul's salutation. And in that, like Paul often does, he lists the author and he lists the audience. We see that's Paul. And Timothy's there with him, and they're servants of Christ Jesus. And who is he writing to? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. And Philippians is obviously a letter. And the thing that strikes me about Philippians is when you read it, there's this familiarity between Paul and the church in Philippi. That's almost like you're eavesdropping on a personal letter because Paul knows them so well. Paul planted the church in Philippi. You remember the seller of purple, the lady he met by the river. And then you remember Paul's in jail. The earthquake happens. The jailer's going to kill himself. And the jailer's family gets saved. All of that's in Philippi. So Paul's intimate with the people in Philippi. Paul's introduction doesn't list his authority. He doesn't say Paul an apostle. Why? Because he knows them. You know, they're very familiar. So it's a very familiar letter that he's writing. And so what I was looking at is what can we get out of this tonight? How can we be encouraged when we're reading a very personal letter written to specific people in Macedonia a few millennia ago? I mean, where are we in this? And what can we get out of this? And this is what I came up with, and this is my challenge to you guys is, it's because we share the same standing as the audience, we can claim the same confidence as the audience. Because we have the same standing as the intended audience, we're in Christ. And because we're in Christ and they're in Christ, suddenly what Paul's writing to this church a couple thousand years ago in Macedonia applies to us today. And one of the things he says is, church, you can be confident in your salvation. So tonight, church, we can be confident in our salvation. So we're going to look at three truths about our salvation from which we can derive this confidence. And then we're going to look at what this confidence produces in Paul and what the confidence produces in us. So three truths about our salvation from which we can derive confidence. And then a few things about what that confidence produces in Paul and what it can produce in us. So first thing we can look at, we can have confidence in our salvation because it's complete. Because it's complete. Unlike those other things that depend on future circumstances or changing facts or moods, the circumstances about our salvation are complete, and we can have confidence in its completeness. God's work of salvation is complete, and we can see that. How do we know that from our text? If we look at the very first verse, Paul says that he's writing to whom? To the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Paul alludes to his knowledge of this completed salvation. He's writing to people that he describes as saints. It's a group of people who are currently in Philippi, currently saints, and currently in Christ Jesus. Their salvation was completed. It's clear, though, that this completed salvation is because that they are in Christ. This is their standing, and this is the standing that we share. They're in Christ, and we're in Christ, and it's because they're in Christ that their salvation is complete. So this is where we're going to derive some of that confidence. Their salvation is complete. What does it mean to be in Christ? In Christ. If you jot down this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, a reference is made to being in Christ, and I'll read it to you. Speaking of God, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake he, being God, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In Christ, in what Christ has done, this was the will of the Father. And speaking of that same will of the Father, it's elaborated more in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. It tells us this, "By that will, being the will of the Father, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And it continues in 14. "For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time." Those are being sanctified. We're in Christ, they're in Christ. Our salvation work is complete. Flip to John 17 with me. John 17, speaking straight from what Jesus did in verse 1. It's important to see that Christ's work is done. If we don't know that Christ's work is done and we're not convinced or reminded of that tonight, we won't be able to derive some of that confidence in the finished work of salvation. John 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. It's complete. Salvation is complete in Christ. When Christ hung on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. So we can derive some confidence in our salvation by one way, knowing that our salvation is complete. And our salvation is secure because it's built on this, our standing as saints in Christ. And Christ's work is complete. So Paul starts out this thing by saying, have confidence in your salvation. Your salvation is complete. He addresses them as saints. The completed work of our salvation. Not only does that completeness inspire our confidence, but we also have confidence because we see that work of salvation continuing. It's continuing. God's work of salvation continues. If you look at our text here in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians, it says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. As much as Paul reminds us of the completeness of our salvation, he's pointing to a continuing work of salvation. He's using words that say, he began a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion. These words speak of a past beginning of this work and a future performing or perfecting of this work. There's a continuing process going on. So the work is continuing, and Paul's confident of the continuing work, but it's also important to note where Paul puts this confidence and who's doing the work. So observe where Paul places his confidence in the continuing salvation. Paul says, he who began the work in you, not me and you began the good work in you. If Paul said, I'm confident because of me and you, all I would have to point to is 6-7 days ago when we started our New Year's resolution, and now we're already done with our New Year's resolution, and we would have no confidence. Paul's confidence is not in that the work is continuing because of something they're doing. Paul's saying he who began the good work will bring it to completion. It's not you and I who brings that work to completion. Paul's confident in this because God is the cause of this. When God begins a work of salvation in a person, he finishes and perfects that work. He finishes and perfects it. That takes some of the pressure off of us, and it gives us confidence. It gives us that confidence in God. That makes the setting for this question to the Galatians all the more obvious when Paul says, are you so foolish? Having begun in this, by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? We can have confidence that the work of salvation is continuing because God's the one continuing the work. We don't have to pick it up and do anything. Christ completed it, and God is continuing it. Our salvation continues. We don't add to our salvation in this continuing work. Paul even says it to the Philippians. Put no confidence in the flesh. There's nothing that we do to add to it. So are we off the hook in this continuing salvation? No. We have a role and a responsibility to cooperate with that continuing. And our cooperating with the continuing salvation we refer to as our sanctification, right? So we have a role and responsibility in this. It's not a work that we do because it's a completed work, but it's something that we do alongside. This is definitely what Paul had in mind when he says those almost famous words to the Philippians later, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we have a responsibility to work alongside in this continuing salvation or our sanctification. This is what Paul's talking about when you look at his statements in chapter 3, verse 8, if you want to flip over there. And we're saying all of this to say that it's the evidence of this continuing salvation that gives us the confidence. And parents, I'll put it this way. if your child confesses a faith in Christ, it's not something you necessarily get excited about. When do you start to get excited about? When you see the fruits of that confession coming, right? And so that's when you see the continuing work of God in your child's life. That's when you get excited. That's when you start to have confidence that what they said is taking root. That's when you start to know that God's the one who's doing the work. So Philippians 3, chapter 8. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians in the same letter. Speaking of the things he's done in the flesh, he says, indeed, verse 8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So as the work of sanctification, or this continuing salvation, plays out, we have a role and a responsibility to cooperate with God in that. It continues. We actively need to pursue obedience with a healthy respect towards God's holiness. That's our role. Not that we're adding to our salvation, because it's complete. But we can see, as we see those working out of our sanctification, as we see the fruit of our salvation coming out, we're confident that there's the root there. And then when we see that obedience to God, that desire to be pleasing to God, that ability to live righteously, then we can be confident that God has begun the good work. And if God's begun the good work, we can be confident that God will bring it to completion. That's what Paul's saying. Have confidence. Have confidence. Peter tells us that his divine nature has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness in 2 Peter 1. Through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, he says in 2 Peter 1, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection for love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that these Philippians in the Philippian church had been partakers of grace with him and participating in the proclaiming of the gospel. Paul knew that, and he said, God began that good work in you. And since God began it, I am confident that God will complete it. So he has a confidence because he sees the continuing work. I had a coworker friend, and Francis and I shared the gospel with him, and he seemed to respond to the gospel, and he made statements of faith, but we weren't working together, and so we didn't see him for a while after that. And I was always kind of wondering, well, was it real? Was it God doing that work? Had God finished his work of salvation already? And then we got an invitation to his baptism. And then what did I suddenly have? Confidence. I had confidence. Why? Because he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. And I started to see fruit of that profession. And because of the fruit, I was more sure of the root. And if there's a root in God, then it's done. It's a done deal. And we need to have that confidence because of that aspect. If we see continuing works of salvation, that should bring us confidence. So in addition to completeness of our salvation and the continuing of our salvation, Paul reminds us to have confidence because we can know when our salvation will culminate. We can know when it's going to culminate. We can know when it's going to come to an end, when it's going to climax. God's work of salvation will culminate in the day of Jesus Christ. Paul refers to it several times just in this one letter. He says in our verse 6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This is the culmination, and Paul mentions it two other times just in this letter. If you want to look at chapter 2, verse 14, same reference. I'll read 14 through 16 for you. Paul says this to the Philippians, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Back in chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says this, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." The culmination, the day of Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is, saints, that's when Paul says this is the finish line. That was Paul's finish line. That's what he's saying. I don't want to run in vain or labor in vain. At the day of Christ, that's Paul's finish line and that's our finish line. The day of Christ or Jesus Christ. It's that glorious day when we as believers will see our salvation come complete fruition. There's going to be the rewarding, final salvation, the glorification of saints. That's going to be the culmination of our salvation. That's the finish line. Paul in chapter 3, verse 20, this is where he's exhorting us to look forward to. In chapter 3, 20, Paul says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." The day of Christ, that's when it culminates. And we can have confidence that it will culminate at the day of Christ. Again, Paul says it in Corinthians, if you want to look one more spot, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read in verse starting in 4. He says, "I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's the climax. That's the culmination. And knowing that it's going to come to that end brings us confidence. Knowing that God has set a date where our salvation will be complete. It's not today. Here we are, you and I, in January 7th of 2018. We made it through another year. We made it through holiday weekends. We made it through family sleepovers. We made it through school breaks. But at the end of one year, we look back at the past year. And if you're anything like me, you think of a lot of times when you think, "I blew it there. I blew it. I could have done it better there. I am not as mature or not as solid in my faith or not as confident in sharing the gospel 12 months later as I wished I would have been. I didn't handle that circumstance the way I wished I would have handled it. I didn't handle my little brother pushing me out the door, or I didn't handle my sister being home every day, or I didn't handle my in-laws sleeping over," or all of these areas we can look at. But saints, today's not the finish line. Today's not the finish line. The day of Christ is the finish line. And if you see the work of salvation continuing in you, then be confident. And be confident because it's completed. Christ did everything. You are who you are. And the salvation work is continuing, and it will complete. Today is not the finish line. Discouragement left unchecked by the truth will erode our confidence. Discouragement left unchecked by the truth will erode our confidence. Paul spoke with confidence to these people. He spoke with confidence about the completed work of salvation. He assured them of it. He spoke with confidence about the continuing work of salvation in their life. He was confident. He spoke with confidence about the culmination of their salvation. No doubt. That's the truth. Paul, the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. Do you think you had a bad year? Paul is the chief of sinners. And he would comfort you and I tonight with this very truth. I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Have confidence. The saving work of God in our lives is complete, and it's continuing towards a definite culmination. Our confidence is the same as Paul's when he says, it's not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. I press on to make it my own. I press on to lay hold of it. So, what does that confidence have to do with us? What does that confidence produce? What did it produce in Paul? Well, what does confidence look like in the world? If we say consumer confidence is up, what do we expect to be going on? People are getting a pay raise. People are buying more things, right? There's more confidence in that financial future. If we say we have self-confidence or our self-confidence is up, it does something, right? It manifests itself in being more flamboyant or willing to step out in new situations or whatever it is. Confidence produces something, or it's not confidence. So what is our confidence supposed to produce in us? Tonight we've been reminded that we have a confidence that we possess that far exceeds any confidence of man, far exceeds the confidence the world can have in anything else. And because, unlike all this other confidence, ours is based solely on the unchanging, finished work of God for our salvation. That's the confidence Paul sends them out in. In closing, look at the end of chapter 1. And we're going to see what this confidence produced in Paul and what it produces in the saints in Philippi. At the end of chapter 1, look with me at verse 19. And I'll read 19 through 21 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, speaking of his imprisonment that he's writing from, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain." The confidence Paul has in his salvation produces a courage even in the face of death and imprisonment. Because Paul is confident in his salvation, what does he say? What is my life? Take it. To die is gain, right? So his confidence produces courage. We can have courage. Don't fear what man can do to us, right? So Paul's confidence produced courage. Look ahead at verse 27 of chapter 1. We'll read 27 through 30. Paul says, speaking to the church in Philippi, the saints in Philippi, he says this in verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Three things about this confidence that it produces in the saints. It produced in them conduct worthy of the gospel. Conduct worthy of the gospel. How do you say? Because this, can I live worthy of the gospel unless I'm assured that the Holy Spirit is in me and God is working those things out? When it's God who works in me to will and do for his good pleasure, I can do all things without grumbling or complaining, right? So the confidence I have in the empowering of the Holy Spirit and the continuing of my salvation, it helps me have a conduct worthy of the gospel. We can now live righteously because of our salvation. It brings about a cohesion. Paul says, you're striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We all have the same confidence in the same Savior. We share that cohesive thought. We share that cohesive message. We share that cohesive objective. So there's a cohesion that comes out of this. We can be sure of the same Savior. And it brings about a conflict. And it brings about a conflict this way. Because we are confident in our salvation, to some we're an odor of death. And to some we're an odor of life. And that's just the way it's going to be. Paul talks in this letter about the enemies of the cross. By virtue of being confident in our Savior, it's convicting to other people who don't have that confidence. But to some we're going to be an odor of life. Part of my testimony about coming around to the realization of my need for a Savior and my submitting to Christ as my Lord is because I ran into someone who had confidence. And guess what I didn't have? I didn't have confidence. I didn't know where I was going in life. I didn't know where my life would end. I didn't even know what I was supposed to be doing. And I heard someone say, I have confidence. And to me, that was an odor of life. But there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict among family members. We saw it over the holidays, I'm sure. You're an odor of life. So your confidence in your salvation allows you to have conduct worthy of the gospel. It brings about a cohesion. We're all in this together. We have the same Savior. But it's going to bring about conflict. In conclusion, this. Let us now, with the confidence becoming of saints, be who we are becoming. Be who we are becoming. And may our love abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Jesus Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that as the world builds upon shifting sand, Lord, we build our house upon the rock. And God, we thank you that the confidence that we possess is in the completed work of Christ for our salvation. And Lord, we pray that as the world goes forward on fake confidence, Lord, we would go forward on real confidence. And that our actions would be ones that bring you glory. And ultimately, in the day of Christ, Lord, bring you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.